This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
I wanted to start with Shakyamuni Buddha and his story. Shakyamuni Buddha, he was born in the Shakya clan about 2,600 years ago. He was born into royalty. His father did not want him to experience the problems of the outside world. So his father kept him sheltered within the gates of their compound. But Shakyamuni was curious. And so he secretly left the gates and went out into the world, the surrounding area. And what he found shocked him. He saw that there were poor people struggling that were hungry. He found sick people, old people, people who couldn't walk. And he went back and decided that he was going to find a way to end the suffering that he witnessed. So he spent a few years with a group of people, or maybe different groups of people, and did some ascetic practices such as depriving himself of sleep, of food, sleeping on nails. There's a story about that. And he did this for years, and he became emaciated and was near death. He was sitting near a stupa, which is like a hut. And a small child, a young girl, saw him and felt sorry for him. And different stories say that there's a story that says that she gave him some food, and he accepted it. And from then on, he decided that he was not going to continue these ascetic practices because it was not helpful to him and it didn't provide the answers to his quest for reducing suffering or stopping suffering. So he sat under a Bodhi tree, it is said, for 49 days. He was tested in many ways. There were spirits called Mara that tempted him, tried to distract him, And he resisted all of these attempts. And he continued to sit, much like we are sitting today. After the 49th day, he woke up and he saw the morning star and he touched the earth. You've seen this mudra where the Buddha is touching the earth with his right hand. And he says, I and all beings together. Are enlightened. From here, after this awareness of these days of sitting, he taught about the Four Noble Truths. The first noble truth is that all life is suffering. We all suffer. The second noble truth is that there is a cause for suffering. What is the root cause of this suffering? Desires, ideas, expectations, and attachment. You think about what those four things are in your life. Desires, ideas, especially expectations and attachments. You'll notice how they cause suffering within you. The third noble truth is that there is an end to suffering. So we're encouraged to practice being aware of these causes of suffering so that you can cease them and cease the things that cause the suffering. And the fourth noble truth is that there is a path to stop the suffering. I'd like to now share with you what that path is. The path is basically it's called the Eightfold Path. Now, if you read about the Eightfold Path, usually they use, well, most of the time they use the word right. Right view, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. But the word right doesn't quite set right for a lot of us. Because it denotes a right and a wrong. So we can substitute right with the word wise, wise view and thought and speech and action. or the word complete, or the word beneficial. And that's mainly, I think, wise and beneficial and complete. Those kind of give you the sense more of the way that this path can lead you versus the word right. So complete view, what does that mean? Complete view means that you are seeing things, you are aware of things, that you're not just reacting to things, that you're seeing things clearly without judgment, without your attachment to your thought about that thing. Almost like you're seeing the whole picture. Complete thought. So once you have the view, you will have thoughts about it. And you'll want to be also aware of your thinking about it, how you think about it, how you experience it. Wise speech. This is a big one. For those of us who speak, think about what an impact your words have. The volume of your voice, the tone. The words you use. So important to be aware of what you say before you say it. Because words can hurt. And that's not wise or complete or beneficial. But words can also heal, bring joy, bring peace, contentment, can bring knowledge. So if you imagine in your speech, if you're speaking to a young child, explaining something to them, what's your tone of voice like? How are you saying it? What words are you using? If you're talking to someone you love, how do you speak to them? Sometimes when we're in relationships so long with another person or your family, you forget how to speak kindly and speak words of love and appreciation. Speech is powerful. Use it to the benefit of others and yourself. Wise action. Wise action. We move around in this world. Some of us move slowly with intention. And some of us rush around because we have a million things to do in our lives. We go from one thing to the next. And we forget about how to take time to really think about what am I doing and how am I doing it. For example, washing dishes. Now, some of us use the dishwasher, but I'm talking about hand washing your lovely china, or I don't use a dishwasher. My dishwasher is broken. So I hand wash my pots and pans and utensils and plates. And I put all my attention on what I'm doing. So what I'm saying is that in awareness, in being aware of yourself and your actions and how you're thinking and how your view is and how your speech is, these are all action items where it's good to do them in a very aware way. Think about going to the grocery store, right? Most of us bring a list. We have a list of things to do. Then we hop in the car, and some of us walk, but you hop in the car and you hurry off because you're thinking about this list that you have to get and where it is in the store and the whole thing, right? But what if before you hop in the car, you treat your car as if it was your zendo, your sitting place, where the cars, the different people in the cars and the cars that you are in traffic with, it's kind of harmonious most of the time until it's not, and somebody cuts in front of you. And what's your view about that? I used to get super angry. And really, if you think about it, if you change your view of the people in the driver of each car, you do not know where they're coming from. You do not know what their situation is. You have no idea what's going on in their life, just like they don't know what's going on in yours. So the beneficial thing is to just let it go. Just like we do in Zazen. In Zazen instruction today, I said, you have thoughts, let it go. Don't engage in that anger. If you feel angry, you can train yourself in time. It takes time to not be angry at people on the road. It takes practice to remind yourself and be aware that you have no idea what people are going through in their lives at that moment. And it's also quite wise as an action to let people in. Emerging on the freeway, you see somebody struggling, hold back. You don't need to speed up and be in front of them. Be kind. So we're on our way to the grocery store. And you've got your list in your hand or your purse or whatever it is in your pocket, and you're thinking, okay, I got to get these things. But wait a minute. Here in Zen, in the Zendo, we do walking meditation. Okay. We didn't get a chance in the small Zendo to practice this, but there's a way that you can be actually quite aware of your steps as you walk to the grocery store. Just pay attention, because all that matters is what's happening right here, right now. Not what's happening in the past and not what's going to happen in the future. Right here, right now. And then you can concentrate on what you need to get in the grocery store. Being aware of the people in the grocery store and bringing your loving kindness to them. If you don't feel like talking, you don't have to, but I like to talk to people when I'm standing in line at the grocery store and just say, hi, how are you? Or I wave at the baby. And I play peekaboo with the babies, the little kids. So beneficial view, thought, speech, and action. Those are the first four. The next is beneficial livelihood. Well, let's think about that for a minute. We need to plug in. Thank you, Karn. It's right here. It's right here. Thank you.
Then you can change to speaker mode. Hey, you have a customer.
I do.
The view on the top right.
Okay, yeah. You could just do galleries. Okay. Hi, Peter. Thank you for joining. So we were at beneficial livelihood. Think about your work. What do you do for work? Is it beneficial to others? You may not think so. I mean, there are certain jobs They're not quite beneficial for others, for example. What would that be? Can we think of any? I don't know.
Produce and sell weapons.
People that sell weapons. It's a good one. What else can we think of?
Bad drugs.
Bad or illicit drugs. So let's just stop there and we'll go on. So you understand what I'm saying. So you may be working at the computer, making a program, but eventually that'll be beneficial for others as long as you're not hacking into somebody, right? If you're a hacker, that's not beneficial. Okay, so right livelihood. Beneficial effort. Now, the first thing that comes to my mind as far as effort is effort in continuing our practice, in sitting zazen. Sitting zazen, in my view, is beneficial. Not just to me, but to everyone. And how can I say that when not everyone is sitting? Well, first off, we are all interconnected. I don't know you, but we're connected. We're connected with every being on this earth, and maybe even beyond. We breathe the same air. We live on this earth. We benefit from the trees. The oxygen that the trees give us. The trees benefit from us because of our exhalation benefits them and all plants, all animals, all beings, the flowers. And there's also right effort in the way we conduct our life. I hope that you're seeing a pattern here in that the things that we do here on the cushion and the things that the teachings that that Buddha ascribed to us help our lives so that we can be a benefit to other people, to others, to all beings. The seventh of the Eightfold Path is complete mindfulness. This is just basic awareness. Awareness, being awake to your life, being awake to what is happening in the world and in your life. Being awake to your bad habits. and then hopefully changing them. For years, I've had a bad habit of going to bed late at night. I don't get enough sleep. Then I get up in the morning and I'm okay, I'm awake, I'm good, but not really, I realized. This past 2 weeks, I've made a concerted effort, a wise effort, to go to bed earlier. And of course, my goal is around 8.5 hours of not sleep at night. So I figure out what my morning appointments are, and then I backtrack a little, and I think, okay, I'll go to sleep at that time. And what I have found in sleeping, Marie, what I have found in getting good sleep is that I am way more productive and happier during the day. I'm not crabby. I'm not short. My temper is long. I'm very patient. I'm patient anyway, but I'm even more patient and I get a lot more things done because I'm not tired. So I'm beating that bad habit. I have changed. I've put in the right effort and I am awake to the fact that I need sleep. We all do. We sleep one third of our lives. Sleep is important. And being awake to what you can change to benefit yourself. Is the right action. It's the wise action, the beneficial action. And the eighth point of the Eightfold Path is right concentration. So in many texts, this is Zazen. So it brings it all back to Zazen. The concentration of your sitting, of your being aware of your breath and your body and your heart mind. And this is what the Buddha taught. He taught us about the Four Noble Truths. I'll review them again. Number one, all life is suffering. Number two, there is a cause for suffering. What are those causes? Desires, ideas, expectations, and attachments. Number three, there is an end to suffering. And how is that? The fourth noble truth, the path to suffering, is taking the Eightfold Path. Beneficial view. Complete thought. Wise speech. Beneficial action. Beneficial livelihood. wise effort, complete mindfulness, and beneficial concentration. I hope you understand that this sitting practice that we do is a way for you to get to know who you are. It gives us the opportunity to be still and to shine the light inside so that we can see ourselves, understand ourselves, think about the things that have happened in your life to make you who you are today. And remember that, please be aware that the past is not here. We can all change from what we've experienced in the past, can let it go. Just like you do your thoughts in Zazen, you just let it go. And then you have another beneficial thought. We don't have to be stuck in sadness or depression or, you know, feeling bad about ourselves. No need. Each of us is actually perfect just the way we are, but we're works in progress. So we must have continual work on ourselves. Don't stop. Keep going. Keep going. Because none of us are perfect and we never will be. But the perfection that we have now is right here, right now. That's the good news. But we can always get better because we make mistakes. We're human. So, I thank you for listening. And I invite any comments or questions.
So in the day-to-day life, when you are trying to be more mindful, do you come back to your breath? Or how do you?
You can. Actually, yes. So let's say, for example, you're in a conversation with someone and something that they say makes you upset. Before you speak, take a breath. It's hard because you want to react right away. But it's a practice. If we practice it enough, it will become more automatic. It will become more second nature. So yes, taking a breath. That's what I do when I drive. I think of my drive. I mean, of course, I'm paying attention. But I also, every now and then, I think about my breath. No, life, our life is amazingly precious. Have you ever thought about that? How amazing we are to be here in this human form. Every breath is precious. So yes, I would always return to my breath. That will help to ground you, especially if you sit every single day. Just take a few minutes every day to sit. You'll feel more grounded. And like I said in meditation instruction, the thoughts you have, you just think about it and then you can just let it go. Of course, we have to work and we have to concentrate and we have to, you know, do what we do, complete our tasks. But it's good to, in between each task, to just take a moment. Just take a moment and breathe. And think, wow, I just did that. That's cool. No one else can do what I just did the way I did it. Right? So thank you for that. Annette?
So about letting go of thoughts, the past, all the stories from the past. Yet, what about trauma and trauma being triggered in this very moment? How to practice with that?
Yes, trauma and how to deal with trauma, past trauma. Because, so I work with people with adults with developmental disabilities. I run two homes for a nonprofit agency for people who have developmental disabilities. And I'm very aware that they could have lots of trauma in their lives, because they came from, most of the people that I care for came from Agnew's Developmental Center, which is a large institution that has now been closed for at least 15 years. And sometimes they can really be triggered by things, and we can be triggered by things. My teacher, Angie, has, I believe it's her grandson, who fought in one of the wars in the recent past. And he has PTSD. And she taught him how to sit zazen. Now, I'm not saying that zazen is like the end all be all and can solve every single problem, but it has helped him to be more aware of what triggers him so that he can train himself to be less triggered and more grounded in what's here, right here, and right now. Some of us have so much trauma that we actually need to see a therapist, and that's okay. It's beneficial to have someone to talk to and to guide you. Because mental health is important. Good mental health is important. It is okay to talk to someone about what you're going through or what you've gone through. So yes, we can be triggered. And a lot of times the trigger could just be somebody cutting you off on the road. But as I mentioned before, we can train our minds to not be so reactive and to consider that you do not know what that person's going through. You don't know if they just didn't see you. That could be it, right? Simple as that. They didn't see you. Why be mad at that? Sometimes we do it, we don't see them. Or, you know, we're not aware of that other car and we might cut somebody off ourselves, right? So, trauma. If it's really, really bad, talk to somebody. Talk to a professional. And I would say sit. Now, I will say some people cannot sit. The people that I care for, that I've cared for these past almost 50 years, all the people that I've housed and fed and, you know, been a part of their lives, these people with developmental disabilities and others, they cannot sit. I sit for them. I sit with them. There are other people without developmental disabilities who cannot sit or won't sit because in their head they think, I can't sit still. I can't sit still and be quiet. That's not for me. And so for those people, I sit. We can do that together. We can sit for others. There are some people that are working two full-time jobs because they can't make ends meet and they don't have time to sit. We sit for them. We can sit for them. We're interconnected, remember? Odd.
Thank you, Judy. These are some jewels that ruminate and remember, and I'm glad to hear them again. I appreciate it. Thank some of the talks we've had. I can hear them, especially with words, and this sound like a musical instrument. What's the sound? I think a few things come to mind long ago of the image of the plane going down and the cockpits filled with smoke and you have a child, the mask, and you have to put the mask on first before you can do anything with your child.
Right.
And the child that you mentioned is your child. So, and also that the sitting, my sense of it is it's It's a practice. It's a practice that deals with our breath and our body and a connection that other forms seem to need more, like staring at a candle, or it is visceral. It is sincere, more reality.
Mm-hmm.
So being a physical being, I resonate in that sense, but I also get up with my breath and I walk kin him.
Mm-hmm.
So even though these forms are very important, it isn't in the form to hold tightly, as it's a scaffolding, I sense, which is a part of the practice, but eventually maybe scaffolding falls away and it is in the ever-present, I don't know. It is what is this? And that practice gives you perhaps the possibility of meeting any situation, standing, lying down. It's in the sutra. The sitting is becomes, you know, in all instances. That's the goal. No, you're not the goal. That's the possibility. And one of those people on the road. I have a little car, got some power. I love that power.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also been physical all my life. I sense and understand spatial kind of surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
And I thrive. I used to be an amateur gymnast. I thrive in this space, and I breathe, try to always stay in my breath. I just always stay in my breath, especially in traffic. This is our modern situation where all of us are coming together.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to the Zendo, but I mean, it's like all these different ways, all these people from different parts of the country, all over the world, and they drive differently. But without anger, I see the road. And there are five people behind somebody who is drives this way. And I go right in front of them and out of way without anger or violence, without hostility, because I know. It's, I think the road is the Zendo. In our modern time. And then lastly, I guess that what you're saying, I think, in those five remembrances is that our actions are our only true belongings. That's the last part of it. Our actions are our only true belongings.
That's all we have, is our actions.
There's no escape from the consequence of our actions. Our actions are the ground upon which I stand. Not doing anything is an action. When I was raising children, I realized that, and you talk to them, and you can see their eyes are just glazed. They're not hearing me. But what I found was really important is to live what I felt was important. I know in myself, I watch them more than what they say. So I see the action. I don't know if they saw it, but that's the best that I can do. Is to live, and to, it starts up with you on the cushion, and it ends with you. You know what? Anyway, that's enough.
Thank you, Todd. That brings me to a thought. Thank you for bringing that up. Actually, the whole road, the whole world is our Zendo, actually. But what comes to mind is, you know, we're responsible for our actions and our thoughts and our speech in the way we behave and are in the world. Because if you think about your interactions, just among people that you're with. Like, for example, we're in this pond called Jikoji. And I'm the pebble that's been thrown in the pond. And what I'm saying is rippling out to you. We are each the pebble in our pond. Wherever we go. Can you visualize that? So the way you are really matters. And how do you get there? Through awareness, through Zazen, through this continual attention. To this Eightfold Path. And you'll find, and what I have found, personally, I've only been practicing for a little less than 9 years, this Zazen. And what I have found is that I have so much peace and joy in my life because of it, because of these teachings. And I'm happy to share it. I'm happy to share it with you and hope that it will be beneficial to you as well. You know, we're all on this life journey. And remember that nothing is permanent. Everything changes. Everything. Everything will fall apart in time. You know, this hard wooden thing. In many years, this will disintegrate, will go away, will not be anymore. Just like us, just like our loved ones, our friends, our family, ourselves, we're not here permanently. Nothing's permanent. Everything is impermanent. So if you really get that in your mind, then you can handle whatever is thrown at you. If you see it with a mind that has no judgment or preconceived idea or an attachment or an expectation. You know, you think about an expectation. You think about, well, you know, I expect my loved one to be this particular way. And if they're not that particular way, well, why aren't they that way? That's how I've always known them. But guess what? We all change. I'm not the same as I was a second ago. And neither are you. Because every moment you're hearing my voice and you're taking in my words and you're processing it, and you're different already just from hearing what I'm saying. You're already different. Every moment we're different. So how can your loved one not be different as well? Why would you expect them to be the same? We're not. So, you know, I've known Todd for a long time. But I don't expect him to be the same every single time. Because he might be sad. He might be happy. He might be tired. You know, he might be ready to go on vacation. And, you know, there's lots of, everybody has their own circumstance. And all we can do is meet people where they are in that moment. Does that make sense? Meet somebody where they are at that moment.
So that, I don't want to dominate, but it brings up something that's really a little difficulty with all my life, probably, is anger.
Yeah.
And like what I said a few weeks ago, somebody drops a bomb on me and I want to drop a bomb right back on them.
I hear you.
And so it's really a form of violence and hostility that resides in me. Mm-hmm. And there are stories or something, you know, being explored. Just, you know, I'm somebody who will allow you to be able to run the sword through me. But anyway, so I don't know what that, but
well,
to this anger, mm-hmm. is the mask is me. This is me. This is my, how am I going to live when I am up against anger? Do I want to live in anger also? Yet I can feel it in my body. I'm feeling a fear, mm-hmm. really, fear. Mm-hmm. And this is where, again, just recognizing, where am I breathing and recognizing my, like my breath is, I know there's, I'm on alert. And so techniques to not escalate this mm-hmm. vein of wanting to hurt somebody.
Right.
Which is wanting to care for somebody, nurture, and wanting to be able to hurt somebody are very close together.
Right.
You just said they were, in our evolution, they're intertwined. Mm-hmm. That's why I think this is so important in our world now. It's an escalation of somebody saying something to you.
Yes.
And you are angry and you're going to get back to them and throw a bomb out. thank you for listening.
You can train your mind to do anything. So when you're angry, you can train your mind to step back. Take a deep breath. And think before you speak.
Walk away.
Well,
whatever works.
I can't handle it. It's just like I gotta say, you know what? I can't do this now. I gotta walk away.
Right.
Because I don't want to live that way.
No. Really. Who does? Nobody does.
No, but they, you know.
But
they don't know anything better. To, you know?
Yeah, so, but you don't have to react to them. Yeah. You take care of yourself.
Right. Just like it's, I'm so agitated. It's like almost like I'm an automatic, I'm this animal being threatened, saber-toothed tiger or whatever. And I just say, you know what? I can feel it. I just, you know what? I can't do this right now. I have to walk away. So I don't escalate my life.
Right.
First.
Right. You have to take care of yourself first.
And that action, without me realize that that type of action, without me being the motive, has the ripple out.
Mm-hmm.
No ball is being bounced back. So the other person goes and says, "Well, wait a second, I'm really angry, and I don't. There's no place for that to go anymore because you walked away."
Right.
Right. Without that being the motive.
Sure.
The motive is I got to put the mask on. I can't. You know, I don't want to live this way. I don't want to live in anger and fear.
Right.
So I have to walk away.
Mm-hmm. And remember, that's one of the precepts, no being angry. I mean, sometimes we just can't help it. We just get angry. Just don't live that way the whole time. Be angry, get angry, do what you need to, and then let it go. You don't have to hold on to it. Right? Think about it. Consider it. I hear the lunch bell. May our intentions equally extend to every being and place with the true merit of Buddha's way. Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. I vow to become it.
And right life, because don't be a butcher.
That's right.